Welcome to this year's 24th issue of DistroWatch Weekly. A lot of software development time is spent polishing the edges of an idea, fixing the corner cases, and squashing the last few bugs. This week, we talk about a number of cases where already good open source technology is being improved. In our news section, we discuss GNOME and Ubuntu working together to bring HIDPI support to the GNOME desktop environment, and Ubuntu developers backporting live kernel patching to older versions of their operating system. We also touch upon OpenSUSE's rolling development model leading up to OpenSUSE 42.3 and Farin OS shifting to a rolling release cycle. In our featured story, Joshua Allen Holmes takes the Slackle distribution for a spin and reports on how it compares to its Slackware and Salix root. And then in our questions and answers section, we explore the topic of kernel blobs and why some projects remove non-free blobs from the Linux kernel. Running kernels without blobs is also the topic of our opinion poll, and we would like to know which, if any, distribution our readers run that do not feature the non-free kernel blobs. We are pleased to bring you the releases of the past week and share the torrents we are currently seeding. Plus, we are happy to report we are making it easier to find distributions using a specific init implementation through our search page. Following in our Ramble On section, we actually interviewed the Slackle developer, Dimitri Zamos. So, we wish you all a fantastic week and happy listening. Featured story by Joshua Allen Holm. Slackle 7.0 Live Openbox. Based on Slackware and Salix, Slackle calls itself a Hellenic Linux distribution, befitting its Greek origin. The distribution comes with a number of Greek localization packages pre-installed. In addition, it provides more software pre-installed than the latest Openbox release of Salix and provides newer packages, including software from Slackware's current development branch. According to the Slackle website, the distribution is available in three editions, KDE, Openbox, and Fluxbox, but the images for KDE and Fluxbox are older. Only the Openbox image has a new release, so images based on other desktops currently ship with older packages. For this review, I downloaded the 1.3GB Slackle 7.0 64-bit live Openbox image and gave it a test drive. Installing Slackle. I will be completely honest, my initial attempts to get the image I downloaded copied to a flash drive were problematic. I first tried to use the shell script included on the ISO, but every attempt gave me an error message about copying EFI.img to the flash drive because there was not enough free space left. The partition on the flash drive are created by the script, so it should have been able to create a large partition to hold all the files it needed to copy. I then booted the image into a virtual machine with a USB passed through and tried to create a live USB drive using the graphical installer, but I could not get the copy live system to USB button to come active no matter what I tried. Clicking on the copy live system to USB button caused the installer to crash. After testing the distribution out in a virtual machine to be safe, I eventually used GNOME's Disks application to copy the ISO to a flash drive, which was completed without problems. Once I got a usable USB flash drive created, I booted Slackle and found the experience to be pretty typical. However, I did notice a difference between booting using the legacy BIOS boot system option, which is what I was using in a virtual machine, versus booting using EFI. On the grub screen for BIOS boot, pressing F2 on the screen after language selection provides more detail than the EFI equivalent. Normally, this would be a minor issue, but the extra information missing from the EFI boot method includes the default passwords for our root and user accounts. In order to run the installer, the user has to enter the password for the user account. Both the username and passwords are one. So, that information needs to be as discoverable as possible. The information is included in the release announcements in the Slackle forum, but it is possible to download the disk image without ever running across that information. Slackle's desktop and included software. The Slackle's OpenBox desktop environment is a standard Linux desktop experience. The bottom of the panel as the screen has the application menu, quick launch icons, taskbar, virtual desktops, and various panel applets, including a clock. Nothing extraordinary. The included software is much the same as other distributions. Firefox 45 ESR, Thunderbird 52, LibreOffice 5.2, and many of the other typical programs come installed by default. Though lightweight alternatives are also included, Midori for web browsing, Silfeed for email, AbbeyWord and Numeric for word processing and spreadsheets. All this runs on a Linux 4.4 kernel, with Linux 4.9 already available as an update, so there should be a few hardware compatibility issues for most users. Installing additional software. If the included software is not enough, there are plenty of ways to add additional software. In addition to the traditional Slackware command line utilities, for example, install pkg, Slackle provides gslapt and sorcery as graphic tools to find, install, and upgrade packages. Gslapt provides an apt-style experience, and sorcery is a graphic interface for Slack build. When using gslapt, there are packages from Slackware, Salix, and Slackle repositories. The sources for the Slack build are Salix repositories. I found gslapt an excellent way to install packages and keep the system updated, but did not really use sorcery that much. There is one major drawback to using gslapt, not with the program itself, but the Slackle repositories are super slow. When I installed a package from the Salix repository, the download was much quicker than the Slackle repositories hosted in Greece. In addition to the standard software installers, there is a specialized installer for installing patent-encumbered media codecs. The application is from Salix, but works equally well on Slackle. The installer provides a way to install all the required media packages with just a few clicks, instead of having to hunt for them all in gslapt. The installer even provides a very helpful warning about the patent issues so that users are notified about the issues and people in regions where that is a problem can proceed or cancel at their own peril. The Slackle community. Software is one thing, but distributions are nothing without a community to support them. In Slackle's case, this is an area that could be improved. The forums have very few posts, and the mailing list has even less activity. While Slackle does benefit from the Slackware and Salix communities, having a few more highly engaged Slackle users might prove beneficial. I certainly do not expect every small distribution to have communities as large as Debian, Fedora, or Ubuntu. But having someone to engage with beyond the developer and a small handful of posters would make for a better experience for new users. In addition, it might help the developer identify and solve some of the various annoyances I have mentioned in my review. So, if you are a Slackware enthusiast looking to donate some of your time, Slackle could benefit from having a few more people engaging with the developer and users. Final thoughts. Slackle is a nice distribution. Not perfect, but nice. It adds enough to its Slackware Salix lineage to provide some benefits over those distributions, mostly in the form of newer software being included on the disk and more packages than Salix includes on its disks. It's especially useful for Greek speakers who want to have Greek localization packages included on a live image. However, there are issues that really need to be cleared up. If some of the things I mentioned above get cleaned up, Slackle 7.1 could be great, but for now, Slackle 7.0 has a few headache-inducing problems. Working on this review by running Slackle for a few weeks and briefly testing out the latest releases of Salix and Slackware was an interesting and nostalgic experience. I ran Slackware on one of my main computers about a decade ago, so it was interesting to see how much Slackware has and has not changed over the years. While the Slackware family of distributions are not my mainstays anymore, I applaud anyone working on Slackware and Slackware-based distributions. Slackle and the rest of the Slackware derivatives are interesting and welcome members of the large family of Linux distributions. I just hope that others, especially those within Slackware, skills and experience, feel the same way and donate their time to make Slackle's community a little more vibrant and active. Viewer-supplied ratings. Slackle has a visitor-supplied average rating of 9.5 out of 10 from 4 reviewers. Have you used Slackle? You can leave your own review of the project on our ratings page. And as a side note, again, a reminder, we will have an interview with Dimitri Zamos in our Ramble On feature today. The Miscellaneous News by Jesse Smith. Ubuntu works with GNOME on HIDPI and backports live kernel patches. OpenSUSE 42.3 uses rolling development model. Farron OS becoming a rolling release distro. The next version of Ubuntu is expected to ship with the GNOME Shell desktop environment. In an effort to make the GNOME desktop scale well across a wide range of devices, Canonical will be hosting a conference for developers to work on GNOME's HIDPI support. The OMG Ubuntu site shares, Canonical is playing host to a fractional scaling hackfest in its Taipei offices this week. Both GNOME developers and Ubuntu developers are in attendance. The aim? Improve GNOME HIDPI support. Ubuntu's Unity desktop, I'm told anyhow, plays fairly nice with high DPI monitors because the shell supports fractional scaling, though most apps, I believe, do not. Furthermore, users can tweak some of high DPI settings to better suit their displays. GNOME Shell also supports HIDPI monitors, but has, until now, been a little less flexible about it. Additional information on HIDPI support can be found on the blog post written by Matthias Klassen. The Ubuntu developers have been working on making live kernel patching available to older versions of their operating system. Live kernel patching allows security flaws to be fixed in the Linux kernel without rebooting the operating system. This allows the system to be left running longer while still keeping them up to date. We are pleased to announce that we have extended our Canonical kernel live patch service to users running Ubuntu 14.04 LTS. The Canonical kernel live patch service enables runtime correction of critical security vulnerabilities in the kernel without the need to reboot. It is the best way to ensure that machines are safe at the kernel level while guaranteeing uptime, especially for container hosts where a single machine may be running thousands of different workloads. A post on the Ubuntu Insights page explains how to enable live kernel patching. The upcoming release of OpenSUSE 42.3 Leap is expected to be launched at the end of July of 2017. The OpenSUSE team is not releasing official alpha, beta, or release candidate snapshots for 42.3 and is instead using a rolling development model. This essentially means that there will be a regular update and new installation media snapshots, but no official milestones published during the 42.3 testing phase. A news post on the OpenSUSE website shares more information. Some Linux users might find a rolling development process for a Linux release to be less appealing for testing, but testing is certainly necessary before the actual release of Leap 42.3 at the end of July. The next minor version of Leap 42.3 is mostly a refresh and hardware enablement release that will have more than 10,000 packages. While the development version of Leap 42.3 is still considerably stable because it is extremely hardened and shared sources from SUSE Linux Enterprise, SLE12, the release could still use more testing and people willing to promote OpenSUSE's next minor 42 series version. The Farron OS distribution, which is based on Linux Mint, will be adopting a rolling release model in the near future. The project intends to regularly update packages on the system using Personal Package Archives, PPAs. Prepare for the first rolling release of Linux Mint based distribution starting in 2017.1, or should I say 2017.0x, where X is the month it's released. The announcement can be found on the Farron OS blog. These and other news stories can be found on our headlines page. Questions and Answers by Jesse Smith. Kernel blobs and getting rid of them. Exploring the Kernel asks, what does it mean to deblob the kernel, and what does that do for the user? DistroWatch answers, one of the kernel's jobs, perhaps its most important job, is to communicate with the computer's hardware. The kernel needs to know how to talk with your keyboard, video card, network interface, and so on. Most of the time, when a hardware's device specifications are known, kernel developers can write open source code to communicate with the device. However, some companies do not wish to provide specifications or open source drivers for their hardware. In these cases, a company may provide a proprietary piece of code that is available in binary form only. The code source is not available. The kernel can load these binary-only modules and use them to manage the hardware. The use of this piece of proprietary code is known as a binary blob, is not ideal. It is very difficult to audit a binary blob to find out what it does, and if a driver proves to be unstable, kernel developers are unable to fix the blob as they do not have the code which created the blob. Philosophically, binary blobs also raise a problem. As users are unable to read or edit the code of binary blob, the user is unable to completely control or modify a system which includes these blobs. People who wish to run entirely pure free software operating systems, for either technical or philosophical reasons, want the kernel to only use code that can be audited and modified. To achieve this, any binary blobs must be removed from the kernel. Stripping the binary-only pieces from the kernel is called deblobbing the kernel. A deblobbed kernel is one of which had the proprietary drivers and firmware removed. This means the user is running an entirely open source kernel. More information on these blob-free kernels can be found on the GNU Linux Libre website. A deblobbed Linux kernel will not be able to work with as many different types of hardware. Because of this limitation, most Linux distributions ship with the kernel binary blobs included in the default installation. For most users, it is more practical to run a kernel with binary blobs as it will support the most hardware. However, for people who wish to run a completely free software operating system, a deblobbed or Libre kernel is preferred. For people interested in running a Linux distribution which includes only free and open source software with no proprietary blobs, we have a list of Libre Linux distributions on our search page. More answers can be found in our Questions and Answers archive. Released last week, Chaos 2017.06. Chaos 2017.06 has been released. This desktop distribution is one of the first that shipped with the recently released Plasma Desktop 5.10.0 and Qt Toolkit 5.9.0. Chaos is pleased to announce that the 2016.06 release, just days after the Qt and Plasma were announced, you can already have both in this new release. Highlights of Plasma include Task Manager gaining options for new middle mouse clicks, such as grouping and ungrouping applications, media controls and virtual keyboard on lock screen, revamped password dialog for network authentication, performance optimizations in Pager and Task Manager. The security of the lock screen architecture was reworked and simplified. File copying notification have context menu on preview. Plasma developers are working on two new music players, and both are now included in the Chaos repositories. Babe has become the default player on this release, while Alisa is available as an option. Other recent additions include Git GUI applications, Qgit and Qdirstat, and a graphical application to show where your disk space has gone. Rosa R9 LXQt. Vladimir Potapov has announced the release of ROSA R9 LXQT Edition, a desktop-focused Linux distribution featuring the lightweight LXQT 011 desktop. LXQT is the most lightweight and aesthetic ROSA R9 edition. It is designed for machines which are not rich in resources, for example netbooks, and for users who like immediate reaction for any action. This ROSA will feel good even if you only have 512 megs of RAM. Specifics of LXQT in ROSA R9, all LXQT components are based on the freshest 11 branch with simplified ROSA theme, without compositing and desktop effects. We use New Moon, Pale Moon web browser, although compatible with Firefox ESR, which is used as a basis. It consumes significantly fewer resources. Default installation includes some additional components for internet users, Pigeon, Qubit Torrent, Trojita. The Nomax image viewer is installed by default. It also provides basic image manipulation facilities. ROSA Media Player and Audacious are included. MX Linux 16.1. The MX Linux team has announced the release of a new version of their Debian-based distribution. The new release, MX Linux 16.1, now supports home directory encryption, offers the Adobe Flash plugin on installation media, and features LibreOffice 5.2.6. So what's new in MX 16? 1. Installer improvements. The installer now supports home folder encryption. This is an experimental feature, an issue with partition boot flags that affected certain makes of PCs, Dell, has been corrected. Auto-install now works for UEFI systems. 2. We now have new Adobe Flash included in the ISO, thanks to recently received permission from Adobe. MX Flash is not on the ISO and is now deprecated. Install-uninstall options via the regular package managers included MX Package Installer on the popular Apps tab. Note, our Adobe Flash package will work in both Firefox and Chromium, including original classics NPappy and PPappy plugins, Pepper Flash. 3. Tweaks to default user interface includes a new default theme and new MX Linux wallpapers. RoboLinux 8.8.1. RoboLinux is a Debian-based desktop distribution. The project has announced the release of a new version of RoboLinux 8.8.1, which is built on Debian 8 Jesse and features up-to-date versions of Firefox and Thunderbird, along with improvements to the Mate and XFCE desktop environments. This is another major RoboLinux upgrade, entailing several months of hard work finding every way possible to improve the speed and functionality of our 8 Raptor versions. All RoboLinux Raptor 8.8.1 versions, including our recently release of Mate 3D and XFCE 3D, are based on 100% rock-solid current Debian 8 stable source code running the newest Debian 3.16 Linux kernel plus over 200 important upstream security and application updates. Firefox and Thunderbird, as usual, all four of the new Epic new 32 and 64-bit Robo Linux Raptor version 8.8.1 editions come with over 120 custom-built Wi-Fi, video, and printer drivers and can run Windows XP, 7, and 10 virus-free inside. Every version is loaded with many popular one-click installer applications such as Tor Browser, I2P, several very popular multimedia apps, Google Chrome, Google Earth, Skype, VirtualBox, plus 12 incredibly powerful security and privacy apps to keep our users safe. KX Studio 1404.5. KX Studio is an Ubuntu-based Linux distribution with a KDE 4 desktop and a large collection of applications and plugins designed for professional audio production. An updated build version 1404.5 was released yesterday. It's time for another KX Studio release. KX Studio 1404.5 is here. Lots of change in the applications and plugins for Linux audio, even in KX Studio itself. So it was about time to see those ISO images updated. Behind the scenes, from what the user can see, it might appear as though nothing has truly changed. After all, this is an updated image still based on Ubuntu 14.04, like those from 2 years ago. But we had a really big amount of releases for our beloved software, enough to deserve this small ISO update. There is no list of changes this time, sorry. The main thing worth mentioning is that the base system is exactly the same, with only applications and plugins updated. You know the saying, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. Before you ask, no, there won't be a 16.04 based ISO release. Tanglu 4.0. Matthias Klump has announced the release of Tanglu 4.0, which carries the code name Desiatis. The Debian-based distribution was in development for longer than expected, which Klump addresses in the release announcement. Tanglu 4 comes due to being frozen for far too long without the latest and greatest packages, but still with some notable changes. The KDE Plasma version is at 5.8, while the GNOME desktop is available in version 3.20 with some pieces of GNOME 3.22. The KDE Plasma design was updated with some suggestions from KDE designers at Academy last year. Tanglu is fully user-merged system by default now, with no option to switch back to the split/user or opt-in options like in previous releases. Additionally, we support installing on UEFI systems without legacy mode now, which was a much requested feature and took quite a while to make it work reliably with the Calamaris installer. We do not, however, support secure boot on EFI systems yet. Tanglu 4.0 is available in three editions, Core, KDE, and GNOME. There were 9 development, unannounced, and minor bug fix releases for this week. As we stroll over to the torrent corner, here are the distributions we are torrenting this week. Chaos 2017.06, MX Linux 16.1, Rosa Fresh R9 LXQT, Blue Star Linux 4.11.3, Robo Linux 8.8.1 Mate, KX Studio 14.04.5, Tanglu 4.0 KDE. The torrent corner statistics: total torrent seeded 439. Total data uploaded, 66.4 terabytes. Due out on June 12th, Black Lab Linux 9. Due out on the 13th, Tails 3.0. And then wrapping it all up on June 17th, Debian 9. The opinion poll. The Linux Libre kernel. In this week's questions and answers column, we discuss what kernel binary blobs are and mention some projects remove them. Some distributions take a philosophical stance against non-free kernel blobs, while others see these blobs as a potential security risk. We would like to find out how many of our listeners are running a kernel with binary blobs removed. If you are running a Linux distribution with a Linux Libre kernel, please let us know which one it is in the comments section. You can also see the results of our previous poll on using Devuan GNU Linux distribution in last week's edition. The DistroWatch.com news. Improving search for init software. In the past week, we rolled out a new search filter on our search page. The new filter, named init software, makes it easier to find distributions which ship with a specific init implementation. Though still being worked on, the new init software filter should make it easier to find distributions using a specific init implementation. In recent months, we've been receiving more requests to provide a way to locate distributions which do not feature the systemd init software. While we had a method for this in place, the old search method could become confused when a distribution had systemd in its repositories but not installed by default. The new search filter focuses on which init software is used by default, ignoring other options in a distribution's repositories. This should make searches for non-systemd distributions more accurate. New projects added to the database. Swag Arch GNU Linux. Swag Arch GNU Linux is a desktop distribution based on Arch Linux. Swag Arch distribution features a live DVD that runs the XFCE desktop and uses the Calamaris graphical system installer. Swag Arch offers popular FOSS applications pre-installed, including Firefox and the VLC multimedia player. this week's edition of Ramble On, we actually have a guest with us, and that is none other than Dimitri Zamos, the developer for the Slackle software distribution. We hope you enjoy the segment.
Welcome to another edition of DistroWatch Interviews. This week, we're actually excited to bring to you the owner, proprietor, overlord of the Slackle distribution, Dimitri Zamos. Dimitri, welcome. Thank you for coming today.
Thank you very much for your invitation. And I was very happy to be with you to have this conversation together.
Well, jumping right into things, how long have you been working with Slackle, and how did this distribution get its name?
Well, Slackle 1.0 version was released on 2005, and it was a KDE edition, KDE. It was based on Slackware 10.2 stable. It was reconfigured with Greek language and applications I was needed. Then I created a live ISO with the Linux live scripts from Slack's distribution, so I could install it without have to configure it again from the beginning. About the name Slackware, it is Slackware and Hellenic. Hellenic is Greek in our language. So Slackle means Greek Slackware.
Now, I love the fact that you combined the two. Now, if it's not too much of a personal question, what do you do for regular work?
Well, I am an electrical engineer, graduated at Democritus University of Thrace in 1985, and I work as a teacher in the Central Public Education of Greece in the first technical school of Agrinion. I teach there things about electricity, electrical machines, programmable logic controllers, and stuff like this. I work there about 27 years now.
And the reason why I brought that up is because with that kind of job and background, how do you find the time to maintain this distribution?
Well, I work there till noon. In the afternoons, I have time, usually. But not all the time I'm in the mood to work with the Slackle. Then I go out with my friends to have a drink or a coffee or go for a trip. Generally, I try to fill up my day. That's all.
Well, not to get too far off track, I do know that you follow football quite closely. A favorite team?
I am. My favorite team is Panetolikos here in Agrinion, and this team is in the in the main champion football here in Greece. And also, I'm Panathinaikos, also another team in Athens. But I am Panetolikos because this is my town football team.
Very nice. All right. Well, of all the distros to choose from as a base, what made you choose Slackware and Salix?
Okay, I will answer this this question in details. Okay, because it's a good question. Well, since 1997, when I first installed Red Hat 5.0, later I was installed SUSE 6.2, then Debian, then Slackware 9, Ubuntu, Gentoo, Arch, and many other derivatives based in previous distributions I have mentioned. Always in the end, I was coming back to Slackware because of its stability, simplicity, and speed. Since 2005, when Slackle 1 was released, I use Slackware. Now, why Salix? This is the interesting part of the story. Salix appeared later than Slackle on 2009, I think. One day, I read about Salix, downloaded the ISO, and installed it. I like it a lot. It had all the things I like to have done in Slackl, command line tools, the excellent Salix tools for maintaining the system, and of course Slackl KDE. It had all these tools from KDE. Then I sent a message to George Vlahavas, who is the Salix project leader. And, he's also a Greek. He lives in North Greece, in Thessaloniki. George is very talented and very helpful. I saying to him congratulations and how much I liked Salix. I told him if I can help in any way, creating packages or making translations in Greek. I started then creating packages, and also I translated the Salix Startup Guide in Greek. There was no Salix KDE edition then, so I developed the Salix KDE installation edition, and later KDE ISO edition, because I had experience in KDE from Slackl. Later, the open box installation edition, with the help of the other members of the Salix team, they helped in testing, and also the MateLive edition. Then I realized that I had a real problem. I had to bury the Slackl. There was no reason to continue developing, since it was also based on Slackware Stable. Because I also like to work for Salix, I found the solution. Slackl will stop to follow the Slackware Stable and follow the Slackware current tree. Another benefit is that Slackl can be used as a testing environment where new features can be tested, which later can be used when current tree will become the next stable tree of Slackware. In the meanwhile, I had forked the Slackware Live scripts from Linomad and further developed the SLI GUI Live Installer, adding new features for Slackl, and created the Slackl, which was based on current tree now, Live Editions. And I used the same scripts for creating the Salix Live Editions, because the developing of the SALT scripts used to create live ISOS images had stopped. I want to say here that SALT scripts was developed from GRD is its nickname, a great developer of Salix team. But when he left the team, the developing had stopped. So I had to use the Linux Slackware Live script, because SALT was using a live kernel, while the Slackware Live scripts, there is no need to use a live kernel. The same kernel included in the release of Slackware can be used. Now I'm responsible for maintaining and creating all Salix live editions. Conclusion, as Pierre-Éric Lebrun, a talented former Salix developer, who also is my friend, said in a conversation in Salix mailing lists, it's an ecosystem. Everybody profits from everybody. Slackl benefits from Salix, which benefits from Slackware, which benefits from Salix, which benefits from Slackl.
That is some kind of story. The best part about all of that is this is actually the opposite of what my colleague and I were speaking about a little while ago, because it seems that in the U.S., there's always a getting people to collaborate and get into the same base can be quite a task. But it seems like you folks actually have collaboration down to a T over there.
I like to work with these people, because I developed Slackl by myself. So to work alone, sometimes I'm very tired to do that. To work with others as a team, it's very good. Can change ideas. I have learned a lot of things from Salix members. They helped me. George told me how to make repositories, because Slackl, before to join Salix, had no repositories. George told me how can I do it. So I think when people work together all over the world, because In Sykes, I work with French people, German people from America, USA. It's very good people from all over the world, and I never met them. Only George, he visited me here in Agrinion. The others, on with Beric, I have talked in the phone a couple of times, but with the others, I don't know how are their face, but we communicate in forums and have a very good time.
Well, let's talk about the distro itself. How do you decide which applications make it into the distro?
I choose the applications I use mostly. They are useful for me for everyday work. Another reason is the size of the ISO image. Since ISO image is difficult anymore to fit in a 700 megabyte CD, I have added in the latest version Mozilla Firefox along with Midori, Silfield, and Mozilla Thunderbird for email, LibreOffice and WordPress and Gnumeric for office applications. So in old machines with less memory, the user can use the higher the light programs, the not heavy programs. And from users in the forum, I can see that Slackle is very stable and people like it, even it is based on Slackware current.
So what happened in question number 5 when I asked you how many developers you have working for? Well, it's apparent that you're the sole person running the show. So I guess the trials in being the only man, I mean, on one hand, it's good because you have the final say for everything. But what has been some of the challenges when you are the only person?
Well, I developed Slackle by myself, but it is you have to think that I use packages from Slackware. Slackware team has done a very good job. The packages also from Salix, Salix tools. What I do by myself is developing the open box packages and other which are not which are many packages. Generally, it's a job which needs many time to do it, but I love it because I use Slackle for my personal use, for everyday use. It's my main host now since 2005.
Now, the next couple of questions are regarding the community and the kinds of help. Now, naturally, these are not planned. I mean, the questions I asked you are pretty much just to help where we can, meaning DistroWatch, and giving you the exposure for your distro as well. In regards to your community, which was question 14, what kind of help could you use, and how should people go about volunteering?
People usually join the forum, can create or some packages. But as I understand from years, usually people just want to use a distribution. There one person from Greece who have made a few packages for Slackle, but the majority usually work as testers. They just join the forum or send me emails saying if what problem they have, how can change something, and I communicate with them. Of course, they help me testing, but they're not really members of a team as in Salix.
With regards to that, for folks who do want to throw their hat into the ring and volunteer, are there any special skills you would like to see from prospective volunteers?
I would like to have persons to help in artwork because I'm not good in painting or making artwork for Slackle or developing new tools for the system. Also, adding more features to GUI installer. Or create a startup guide or help in supporting other users in forum.
I think artwork is usually the most difficult, especially when you consider the tech nature of distributions. Now, in regards to the tasks for volunteers and members of the Slackle community, are there something a new contributor can help with? And when I mean new contributor, these are it's a different kind of volunteer, because you have those that are technically skilled. But what about for the non-technical, contribute to, say, any written documentation or anything like that?
Yes. Anyone can help. I don't think he has to know technical things about the distribution or to know programming. He can write an article or to promote the distribution in forums, whatever he thinks. Also, I'm open for new people to come to join the Slackle and help in any way to work all together. To be equal, no problem. I would be very pleased for people to join Slagel and help in any kind they like.
In terms of written documentation, too, I know that one of your answers also spoke about possible translators, too, for your manual, because I understand right now it's 100% in just two languages, correct?
Yes, the Slackware Live installer has translated from English to Greek and to French only. There was a Romanian also translation, not 100%, but I have put the POT files in Transifex, and everyone can join there and download the POT files and translate them in its language.
Well, I guess the only other question that I had right now is the future of Slackle, and are there anything exciting in the pipeline that you are going to include, or some other things that you'd like to mention?
Well, the future of Slackle, I think, because this is a once-person distribution, it's good other people to come to show them how they can use the distribution, how to develop new things, and take the distribution to the future when I will retire. It's a pity to not continue to developing. Also, I want to mention, I want to thank you all you people in DistroWatch for promoting Slackle, for supporting it. And also I want to mention the Salix team members, because I had a very good time with them. George Vlachavas, Perik Akuna, it's his name, GRD, friend, and Mimosa. And I hope to not forget someone. They are great people, and I really enjoy to work with them.
Ah, that's awesome. So I guess the last question I had for you was, are there any other things that you would like to mention before we end?
Well, I don't have something in mind now. What to say? I have nothing to mention, okay.
No, that's perfect. I mean, this is, I'm glad that you actually took the time out of your schedule to meet with us today. And I really look forward to the future releases of Slackle, because I downloaded the open box version of it and I've been using it. I like it. It's very slick. And the best part about it for me is that when it came to the installer, at least it was a lot more streamlined and easier for me to use than traditional Slackware. I've not given Salix a chance yet, but this is something for me to do in the future. So again, job well done.
Well, Bruce, I want also to say something about the installer. I tried to have all in one screen. If you see, user can do everything from one screen. Another thing is that I wanted to be easy. Also, I think another distributions like Slackle or Salix have something bad in quotes, because they are based on Slackware. People when hear that based on Slackware, they're afraid. This is not good. They think that Slackware is a very difficult distribution, which is not real. So they go away when hear that they based on Slackware. If Slackware was based on Ubuntu, people would try it at once. I don't know, maybe it's my idea, but I think this is a fact. And also, I have a proposal to you, a suggestion to make you. I hope it's good to interview George Vlahavas. I think you will find very interesting this interview, talking about Salix.
Oh, he's on our radar, no doubt about it. Well, again, I wanted to thank you again for showing up today, and I really appreciate your time. And good luck to you, sir, for everything that you do with Slackle, and thank you.
Okay, I thank you very much for the conversation we have, and I hope to continue to communicate each other. I really enjoyed the conversation. Thank you.
Again, we wanted to thank Dimitri for taking time to visit us and talk to us about his distribution. And again, we would like to reiterate, he is definitely looking for help on artwork. So if you're an artist and you have some moments to spare, please give him a hand. He can be reached on his website. And any of the questions, obviously, you can aim them towards Dimitri as well. He's a super friendly guy, and he deserves all the support he can get. Now, on to the DistroWatch database summary. Number of all distributions in the database is 858. 291 are active, 57 are dormant, 510 are discontinued, 168 sit on the waiting list, and 47 are waiting for evaluation. This concludes this week's issue of DistroWatch Weekly. The next installment will be published on Monday, June 19th. Past articles and reviews can be found through our article search page. So, for Jesse Smith, Ladislav Bodner, and Joshua Allen Holm, I'm Bruce Patterson. We'll see you next week.
Austin, Texas. How do you feel this evening? It is nice to see you. That is an understatement. It is nice to see you. Long people, are you faring okay out there? Woo! All right. All right. Got a lot more playing to do than talking, so. Thank you.